Right? You guys ready? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again, Lord. We thank you that you got the power back on and we're able to have this service, God. And we do pray, Lord, that as we continue studying here in Romans chapter 6, that God, you would bless this time. Lord, we do want to understand, and we do want to put feet to these things that we're reading and make them a reality in our life and flesh them out. So, Lord, I just pray for a great move of the Spirit in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, that we could genuinely affect in our community and make a difference, Lord, in this world. And that things, God, would begin to turn as we serve you and as we serve others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we begin here, we left off last time with some important stuff. Three times in the first 10 verses, Paul tells us there's things we need to know. And bottom line, the thing that we need to know is that we died with Christ and we rose with Christ. So listen, he emphasized, last time we were together in the first part of Romans 6 there, he's just emphasizing something we need to know. In other words, he's giving us facts. Facts that are true and facts that should impact our lives, and laying those facts out and telling us. Now he's going to shift a little bit. And listen, here's the great thing. He's going to shift from something we need to know to something that we need to, he's going to use the term reckon. A better term might be consider, or even get your head around, or get it into your heart. He's going to focus on that area. And then, listen, then he's going to focus on changing that from just a heart thing to fleshing it out, to making it a reality in our lives. And this thing that Paul is communicating to us is one thing, holiness. Holiness. Remember, he started in verse 1, he says, if grace abounds, where sin abounds, should we keep on sinning? He goes, certainly not. And now he's spurring us to holiness. But I don't know about you guys, but this is one of my favorite areas of Scripture, because it's so encouraging. And it's not, listen, we're not going to give everybody a list of rules. If you want to be holy, here's what you do. You follow these rules, you know, and if you act like this and you talk deep and get a little halo, you'll be perfect. It's not about that. Listen carefully. It's all about understanding the facts and getting the facts into your heart. So once they're in your heart, you begin to live differently. I don't know if you've noticed, so often when we pray and someone accepts the Lord, you know, I always pray for those individuals at the end of a service when they commit their lives to the Lord. I always pray that they would now walk in the righteousness they've just received, because that's a reality. Listen, Paul is communicating something profound to us. Holiness is not something we need to be. Holiness is something we are. And if we understand that's who we are, we're going to live differently. It's going to impact our lives. So listen, I want us to kind of get a hold of that. This whole chapter is not about a burden, but it's about, listen, it's about being free to be who God created you to be when you were born again. And you know what? I'm going to tell you guys early, because I forgot to last night. I'm going to stop at verse 14, because I know I'm going to get so far, and you guys are going to be looking at your watches, looking at the bulletin, saying, how is he ever going to get to verse 23? Because it's late now. So put the watches away. You know, you don't need to freak out and think, man, he's going slow. I know. I watch you guys. I can see what you're doing. So look. Look at it, and I don't want you distracted, because this is so good. This is so good for us. So verse 11, remember we left off with 10. Well, let's read 10, and then we'll join it to 11. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you get the connection? Listen, that should really get us excited. He uses the word likewise. Some of your translations might have so then, or, you know, because of. Listen, because 10 is true, that makes 11 true. And if we understand, listen, if we understand that Jesus Christ died once for all to sin and lives, and he lives to God, then we, because why? Because we're joined to him, remember? We're part of him. When we gave our hearts to him, we have that solidarity thing going on. Because now that you're part of him, you reckon yourselves dead to sin. And I like it, he even says, dead indeed to sin. Listen, he's really being emphatic about this. And now here's one problem I see, that word reckon in the King James and New King James. That's maybe not the best translation, because that word has changed so much. Listen, if you're from the South, you reckon something, right? Well, I reckon that's true, and it might be true and it might not, right? And I think a lot of us, listen, I think a lot of us relate that word kind of in that meaning. Well, it might be true, it might not. You know, you're kind of hoping something. The biblical, the original Greek word is nowhere near that. Listen, it's not, I hope this is true. Listen what he's saying. He says, likewise, just as Christ, here's what you need to do. You need to count or consider. The New American Standard has consider. The New International Version has count. You need to count yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. It's more, the original word more is like an accounting term. You remember we've talked, it's the same word we used back when he said that that it was accounted, imputed to Abraham as righteousness, or reckoned to him as righteousness. Listen, it's that whole accounting term, but it's based on fact. Maybe here's a good way to explain it. Maybe if Bill Gates came and visited us today, and he's here, and maybe he would write you a $10 million check. And you got the check, and you're going, well, that's kind of nice. Now, you got your check, and you're holding it, maybe even show it to everybody. Look it, I got a $10 million check. When does that check become reality for you? When you endorse it and cash it, right? You got to endorse it and cash it. You got to act on it. You got to do that. Listen, that's exactly what Paul is saying about us. You need to endorse and cash the fact that you indeed are dead to sin. That's so important that we begin to understand that. It's not wishful thinking. It's not, I hope I am. It's a fact, and you need to get that in your heart. Here's what Paul's saying. Get that inside of you. Understand that. And, even if we go psychologically in some way, when you start to believe something that is true, you begin to act on that, don't you? And he's saying, believe this. Hide this. Get it inside of you. And I love, he says, that you reckon yourselves indeed to be dead, or to be dead indeed to sin. If you're dead to sin, guess what? We're going to find out here in a minute, sin no longer has power over you. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You no longer have to sin. That's good news, isn't it? I don't know about you guys, but it's great news for me. When I think of my life, man, woo, yes. Sin comes knocking at my door. Here's what I tell him. I'm dead. Get out of here. I'm a dead man walking, right? You listen, that's gone. You're dead to that. And then, listen, that's not all, though. I love the rest of that verse. Listen, he says you're dead to sin, but you're alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we're in Christ. Listen carefully. Because we're in Jesus Christ, we're alive to God. For the first times in our lives, listen, when you're born again, you're alive to God. I don't know about you, but I just read verse 11 and think, yes. I think for my own life, I believe I am a new creation in Christ. Isn't that what we looked at last time? 1 Corinthians 5:17 or 2 Corinthians 5:17 or Galatians 2:20, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives me. And by faith that I live in the flesh, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me and loves me. Listen how important that is. That's a reality. And we need to understand that. And listen, if you don't get anything else today, man, if you just get verse 11 and you begin to, listen, if you begin to, instead of reckon it, why don't you wrap your mind around it? You know what I'm talking about? Get it inside. How about this one? Maybe process it a little bit. Maybe sit back and go, okay, if I'm in Christ and he died, and so when he died, I died, and now I'm dead. I'm dead to sin. Guess what? I don't have to sin. I've got a choice now. I can walk in righteousness. Now I can live to God. That's righteousness. So that's the first thing he says. Now listen, You will never, ever, ever, ever do 12, 13, 14, 15, maybe the rest of this chapter, maybe the rest of this book, until you realize, verse 11, did I say chapter? I meant verses. I don't know what I said, but verses, you got it, right? Listen, you can't do verses 12, 13, and 14 until 11 is reality for you. It won't work. You can't plug it in. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you you're free from something when you're in bondage to something. I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't it be horrible to tell a bunch of people who are, you know, I think back of when the slaves were set free. It would be horrible to tell them they're free when they're really not free, right? But it would be horrible to keep them in bondage when they're really free. And you got to listen, you got to get this in your heart. You got to get this deep inside. And you got to say, okay, I believe verses, well, 1 through 10, and I'm going to reckon it true for me, verse 11. I'm going to make it a reality in my life. Now, listen, now it gets really good. Therefore, notice the conclusion, because 11 is true. Then he says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Wow. If you really understand that, you'll come to the conclusion that I say sometimes, and I know sometimes it's a little bit offensive, but we only sin because we want to. As Christians, we don't sin because we have to. Why? Because we're dead to it. We don't have to let sin reign. We sin because we want to. And he says, do not let sin. Listen, he wouldn't say that if there wasn't the possibility of that, right? And we talked about it. Here's the important thing we talked about. Because there are some people who kind of push a doctrine and maybe even push in Romans 6 here a little bit of a thing called sinless perfection. Meaning that if you come to Christ and you really give your heart to Christ and you're really sincere, you will never sin again because your sin nature is done away with. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say our sin nature is done away with. And every single one of you know that practically, don't you? Nod your heads. Come on. Don't be a bunch of prudes. Listen, we know that practically. Why? Because we keep sinning. And we keep, listen, our sin nature is gone. What happened? What happened when we were born again? I want to explain that once again because I think it's important we understand. When we give our lives to Christ, prior to Christ, we're in Adam. The old man in Adam, that old man, and I believe we're kind of a trichotomy, if you will. That old man is, number one, is governed by the flesh. And then there's the soul. And then, lastly, is the spirit in Adam. That's kind of how man stacks up in Adam. And remember he said that old man was crucified? Well, that old man was that. Now, the new man in Christ is, the spirit is on top. Then the soul, and then the flesh is on the bottom. But guess what? The flesh is still there, isn't it? And you still got to battle it. And he says, listen, but here's the good news. Don't let it reign. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, because someday we will have an immortal body, not an immoral one, an immortal one. And listen, we'll have that and we'll live forever, we'll be glorified. Don't you look forward to the day when you get rid of this sinful body? And yes. Well, he says, listen, don't let it reign now because you have a choice now. And then he says that you should obey it in its lust. You see, your body wants lots of things. Your sin nature wants lots of things. And you have a choice. You don't have to obey it. When you're getting drug in that direction, you have a clear choice. I don't want to do that. And then, like I said, why don't you just say, I'm dead. I'm dead. I don't have to do that. I died. That no longer has dominion, no longer has reign over me. I am not going to allow sin to have dominion in my life. You see, that's the greatest news when we look at what Jesus Christ did for us. He broke that dominion. He broke that place where sin no longer has dominion. Doesn't mean sin's gone. Doesn't have dominion. We can live free from sin. It's our choice. Now, Listen, now it gets a little bit better. Listen, so I think verses 11 and 12, maybe 12 shifts a little bit, but that's dealing with the heart. Now listen, and 12 kind of gets into something of the act of the will, but now it gets a little bit stronger. Verse 13 is like to me the almost the climax of what we're looking at this morning. In verse 13, he says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Wow. You see, I look at this and I read this, and he's just told me to not let sin reign over my mortal body, to give in to its lust. And then I love it. Now he's getting a little bit more specific, and he's letting me know I'm not to present my members. I believe he's talking about the members of my body, whether it's my mind or my tongue or my eyes or my arms or my hands or my legs. And he says, do not present those members to do evil. And it's interesting the way he words this in the original language even. When he says, do not present, that verb is in such a tense that it says, do not present and keep on not presenting and keep on doing not presenting. Are you with me? You got to keep on. Listen, this is not a one-time thing. You got a battle going on. And we got to understand that, man. And you got to make some choices and you got to make some decisions. You know, I remember clearly the moment I got saved. I remember it so clear. I was in my bed. I got saved in my bed. I did not get saved in a church. I did not have someone preach a long message to me. I didn't have any of that stuff going on. As a matter of fact, the night I got saved, all I did was go to a house where some people were showing slides back then, little slides, little square things you put in a carousel, you know. And they were showing slides of their ministry in Mexico. You know what? I don't even think they presented the gospel. All they did was talk about what they were doing in Mexico. And I remember I went home that night, and here's what I thought. I don't know if Jesus is real or not, but I know he's real to them. And I began to mull that over in my mind, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to jump in with everything I have. And I gave my heart to Jesus, and I got up the next morning, and I was different. I was not that same person. We got to understand that. When I gave my heart to Jesus, something radically changed in me. Did I feel something? Did I get those, you know, feelings and sensations that some people talk about? No. But I got up the next morning and listened. The Bible had never been so real and so authentic to me as I began to open it that morning and read it. And I did that. And then now, listen, then the battle started in my heart. And I had a battle. I was sharing last week with one of our pastors. I was sharing, man, I can remember. I don't know if everybody experienced the same thing. I battled for months, every single morning I would get up and there was a battle whether this thing was real or not. And I had to fight through it, man. You know, the devil was just hitting me, and I had to fight. And I had to open up my Bible, and I had to read it, and I had to believe it. And then I had to present my members as not to sin. You kind of get what's going on. You got to make some conscious decisions. And you got to say, I'm not going to do that. And isn't it crazy how when we get saved, some of us, we get saved, and some of the sins just go away, right? We had, like, I had a foul, gross mouth. It was terrible. You wouldn't want to be around me. And you know what? That just went away. The next, it's not even there. Now listen, I know that doesn't happen. I know some people struggle with that. That's a struggle in their Christian life. And listen, I struggle with other things. But isn't it interesting in our lives how some of it just, whew, it's gone. And you're thinking, why didn't it all leave? Right? How come some of it hung on? And it's like, come on, God. Well, here's what he's saying. You need to do something. Now there's some knots. Listen, I love this. There's some things we're not to do. And we're going to talk in a minute, but there's a whole bunch of things we need to do. And so many of us focus on the nots and not the do's, and we never do the do's, and we're busy doing the nots, and we never get and grow in advance. So number one, do not present your bodies or your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Well, how is that practical in my life? What's some practical application of not presenting my body in ways? Now, listen, when I read this, I think of King David. And we'll talk about King David on the flip side of this, but let's talk about him on this side. King David presented his eyes for unrighteousness, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He started checking out that babe on the roof. And then, listen, then he presented his mind to go further, didn't he? And then pretty soon, listen, then pretty soon, he's in an intimate relationship with that lady. And then he presents his hand to write a letter to execute somebody. That's insane, isn't it? When you break it down that way, you're going, why didn't he stop? I don't know. You have to ask him. Why don't any of us stop? You see, you got to do this. You got to make some decisions. And listen, I'm just going to give us a couple things. Maybe our problem's gossip. I know that's a tough one in the church. Listen, and it's probably the most accepted sin in the church. Like people get all uptight, and somebody does something, they get like all bent, and then they go gossip about it. What's wrong with that? You see, gossip is sin, right? So maybe our problem. So we need to find ways to keep ourselves from gossiping. You know what? It might be you gotta change people you're hanging out with. Or maybe when people start talking to you, you gotta go, nah, 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 nah. Or maybe, just maybe, you gotta turn off Facebook. Maybe you gotta take that step. I know every time I mention it, it gets real quiet. You guys like freak out. Turn off Facebook. I can't do that. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time if you're caught up in that. Or Twitter or Instagram or, you know, any of the other social media that you're involved in. Maybe it's time to turn it off. I can't do that. Why? Is it a problem for you? Do you get on it first thing in the morning to catch up on everybody? So a little thing there. So listen, I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just trying to tell you this is how you present your members not to do that, right? So you do that. Or how about this? Maybe you struggle with lust. And maybe you need to avert your eyes at certain times. Maybe you need to not look at certain things. Maybe you struggle with lust because you watch bad things on television. I don't know. I'm not an anti-TV guy, but maybe you're doing that. Maybe it's because you have things on the internet. Whatever. Listen, make it a point to not do that. Oh, maybe your big struggle's bitterness. Anger. Well, you know what? You got to put yourself and you got to find out, how can I put myself in a position where I don't get angry, where I don't get bitter? How can I let go of things? You know, some of us are wired in such a way that, man, we can hang on. We can hang on to wrongs forever. I come from a family that does that. My family, and I think it's in the gene pool. And man, listen, I got to tell you, my dad has said some things that happened centuries ago, quote, to our people. And I go, Dad, let it go. He goes, never, never. We got to get those other people. I go, number one, we ain't going to go do nothing. And number two, let it go. But some of us are built that way, right? We got to find out, how can I do that? Are you kind of getting some things? Listen, and I'm not going to go through a big long list because you probably have your own list, right? And you can probably do some things. And right now in your head, you're going, oh, okay. Maybe I ought to do this. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should put myself. And listen, once again, do not present your members as instruments. When you think of it that way, it just kind of hits, doesn't it? As instruments of unrighteousness. Do you really want to give your hands to unrighteousness? Your feet? Your mind? Your eyes? Listen, I believe with my whole heart, most people in here that are born again don't want to do that. We're already there. That's something that we do not want to do. So here's the flip side of that. Here's the do part. He says, but present yourselves to God. Now listen, here's what's interesting. That word is in such a tense. It means you need to do it once and for all. You just make that decision. You present yourself. Here's what I love to God. You come to God and say, here I am. You know, Jesus calls a few of us to die for him. Not very many, few. But he calls every single one of us to live for him. And I believe a lot of us struggle because we never give ourselves fully. We never surrender fully to God. We never give everything we are to God and tell him, you know what, it's whatever you want to do. You know, that was one of the most freeing times in my Christian life is when I told God, whatever you want to do, because trust me, what I'm doing right now was not on my agenda when I first got saved. And after I'd walked with the Lord for a while, I had no desire ever to be a pastor. I wanted to go live in the mountains of Mexico and work with the Tarahumara Indians, and I wanted to go die up in some little cabin sharing with those tribal groups about Jesus. That was my heart's desire. And God, listen, when I presented myself to God, because I got to tell you something, I was struggling at that time in my walk. Not so much struggling like I'm a horrible person, but I wasn't content. It was just a difficult time. It's a difficult time for me and my wife both. And listen, once I said, okay, God, whatever, and it's interesting, about that same time, she did it because she did not want to go live up in the mountains of Mexico in a little cabin without any electricity or running water. That was not her dream life, but she was willing to listen. And when she finally said, okay, Lord, if that's what we got to do, I'll do it. At that same time, I was saying, Lord, whatever you want in my life, do it. And he changed. Listen, everything changed for us. It's an interesting, interesting thing. Saints, present yourself to God. That's first and foremost. Just present yourself to God and say, God, whatever you want. I don't care. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it is. I'm yours. Whatever. That's the first part. Then he says, listen, to God as being alive from the dead. Oh, remember I said you were dead to sin? But the other side is what? You're alive to God, right? There's that resurrection part. Present yourselves as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present yourself as your members as instruments of give your hands. Going back to King David. Isn't it interesting that God used the hand of a 15-year-old boy to slay a nation and free Israel? David in his slingshot. Isn't it interesting he used the rod in the hand of Moses to deliver a people out of bondage and to deliver them into the freedom that they had walking with God? How about all the prophets and their tongues, how God used their tongues? How about Paul? Paul is great, right? God used his feet, his hands, his mind, didn't he? To leave us these tremendous, tremendous writings that we have to encourage us. How about the Apostle John? I just love John. God used John's eyes to show him the entire end of everything. Is that amazing? Whenever I think about that, I always do this too. I always go, why John, God? Why'd you pick John? I'm sure the other guys did the same thing. Why did he get to do that and I didn't get to do that? You know, and sometimes we get jealous of each other, right? How come he gets to do that, God, and you didn't use me? You know, the interesting thing about John is John was the one, what was John always doing? He's always leaning on Jesus. John was always close to, John was the apostle of love, right? Then you kind of think about that, and man, he got that tremendous vision. So, sorry, that's just something that goes on in my head when I think of John and Revelation and stuff. But present ourselves, listen. He wants to do something similar to those things I mentioned through every single one of us. That's our God. Listen, God didn't save us just to get us to heaven. I say that all the time. He saved us so that we could be instrumental in what he's doing on this planet. We just need to yield our members. You need to say, God, here I am. Take me, use me. Now, listen, what about some baby steps? How can we get started in that? You know, as I was praying over this and thinking about this, this book came to mind, my favorite New Believers book, Ben Born Again, the cartoon. I love Ben. I love going on journeys with Ben. This is one of my, I just love the way he comes together. But most of us who've walked with the Lord any amount of time have probably even discipled people through the things that I'm going to talk about. But here's the problem. We ourselves have left them because we're so mature as believers. How are some ways that I can present my members to God as instruments of righteousness? Number one, first way, what do we tell a new believer? Number one in here, pray and talk to God. Oh, that's the first thing we tell a new believer. Hey, what you got to do is you got to get close to God, right? You got to talk to God. You got to spend some time with God. You know, I remember when my wife and I, Gaynell and I, just celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. We've been together 47 years, but we've been married 45 years, and we've been hanging out. But you know what? I remember when we first met and got together. Man, my friends got uptight. And they're going, dude, how come you're always with her and you don't hang with us anymore? I said, because you guys are ugly, that's why. Like, I'm tired of hanging out with you guys. Why was I hanging out with her? Why was I hanging out with her? One, I wanted to catch her. But number two, I wanted to know her. I wanted to get to know her. Hey, you want to get to know? Listen, if you're born again, you want to get to know with God? You got to hang out with God, right? That's what prayer is hanging out with Him. And some of us are so afraid of prayer. We think, man, well, I don't know if I can say it right. I don't have the right terminology. I don't have the right language. I didn't go to, you know, learn. And listen, just talk to Him. Just talk to God like you're talking to anybody. He's not expecting you to have perfect language. He's not expecting you to come to Him all spiritual, especially if you're not. Guess what? If you're not spiritual, God knows that. Shock to you. He knows. Just show up. Show up and talk to Him. So that's number one. What's the second thing we tell people to do? Study your Bible. Right? Study your Bible. Why do we want people to study their Bible? So they can know God. It's not so that you can know your Bible. We want you to know God. Knowing your Bible will help you know God, right? But listen, study. And when we say study, that means study. Not just casually reading. In our fellowship, I'm adamant about reading through the Bible every year. If you guys follow me on Twitter or even follow our Facebook page or follow me on Instagram, on Twitter and Facebook, every single day, I give you the Bible reading verses. Here's what you need to be reading. Why do I do that? Because I want you reading your Bible, man. I want you to get into it. Now listen, that's not this. I think we should be reading our Bible from Genesis to Revelation because we're believers. We should know the whole counsel of God. That should just be something. How many of you are breathing this morning? Most of you, right? A couple of you, not so sure. Some of you look comatose. Most of you are like doing it. And here's the crazy thing. When you're breathing, you don't even think about breathing, do you? You just breathe, right? Why do you breathe? Because you're a human and because you need air to exist, right? And you got to have that oxygen in you so you can exist. Listen, I think reading your Bible through the year should be the same exact thing. Now listen, I don't mean you should just go through it there and not understand it. But you should be reading it. Why? Because you're a Christian. That's why. Because you're part of Him and it should be part of your life. It should be something that sustains you just like oxygen. But on top of that, listen, when we say study the Bible, on top of that, I'm talking about digging in and studying something. Are you doing that? Are you doing that on a regular basis? You got to start thinking about, man, no, maybe some of us are sitting here this morning going, no, I can't really remember the last time I really dug in on my own. And then some of us use this lame excuse. I'm not a student. Go back and check my high school records. You cannot use that excuse with me. Listen, when I got done with my books at the end of the year, they were worth more than when I started because they had been pressed down and taken care of all year long. So don't tell me, listen, I am the king of I'm not a student. If you love God, you're going to study. You're going to dig in. And I just a little bit of conviction. Study the Bible. Oh, what's the next one? The next one's fellowship. That's like one of our easiest ones, right? But by the way, fellowship doesn't always include food, just so you know. It can include food. But listen, fellowship is so important. Why? Fellowship's important so iron sharpens iron. We get together. We're around other believers. We hang out with other believers. Man, sometimes other believers, they call you out on things, don't they? And they bring up something. Listen, I know in my own life, man, I got brothers that I hang out with, man, and they'll go, Pat. And here's my kind of automatic response. I don't like you anymore. But you know what? I go home and pray about it, and they're exactly right. And I thank God for brothers that are there, that can call you out, that can talk to you. I thank God for brothers that are there to walk you through after they call you out and to be there and to take you on that journey. Listen, fellowship is so important. And then that's so we present ourselves how? By praying. We present ourselves, our members. We present, you know, our mind by studying the Bible. We present our emotions by fellowshipping with one another. Oh, the last thing is we need to witness. When was the last time you ever told anybody about Jesus? I mean, just sat down and had a conversation. Not people in church. Well, yeah, I was just talking. You know, we were just right here in the hallway, man. We're loving Jesus. We're talking. No, 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 no. When was the last time you told a good, hardcore heathen about Jesus. He just stopped and said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And they go, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Have you ever followed someone down the street telling them about Jesus that they need? Hey, you really need Jesus, man, because you're walking away from me right now and a car's about to hit you. And if you don't do, no, we don't want to do that. But you get my point. When was the last time you witnessed? Now, listen, a lot of us use this excuse. Here's what we say. I don't know how to witness. Seriously. No, I don't. You know, Pastor Pat, you were made for that. Do you think I was made this way? Listen carefully. When I was dating Gaynell, you know what I did with my buddies who wanted me to hang out with them? You know what I did? I talked to them about Gaynell. And I told them everything I found out about her. And I wanted them to know her. I wanted them to know this woman that I fell in love with because I wanted them to understand. Do you know how you witness? You tell people about this Jesus you fell in love with. Just talk to them. And you try to get them to, this is what happened. Listen, you don't have to have all the lingo. All you have to do is a heart that's been changed by Jesus Christ. And you go tell somebody, man, let me tell you about Jesus. Now listen, I know some people go, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. And you just go, you know, especially if you're in a plane, it's perfect. Tough. We're here for 2 hours. You're going to either have to put headphones on or you're going to listen to about Jesus. And if you put headphones on, I'll pull them off and we'll keep going. Listen, tell people, talk to people, witness. So those are things, listen, those are things. And I only bring that up, listen, I only bring that up because I think a lot of us, we hit verse 13 and we're going, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I'll do that. And then a lot of us, we're mature believers. We left these four steps way behind a long time ago and they're not part of our lives anymore and they should be. Listen, if they're important for a new believer, they're more important for a mature believer. That we don't get sidetracked, that we don't get messed up. If you're praying and talking to God, if you're studying your Bible, if you're fellowshipping, if you're witnessing, you're not going to get caught up in some weird movement or get off track. And here's the cool thing, if you're doing those things, that whole lust issue begins to disappear. Why? You don't have time, right? That whole bitterness thing begins to melt away as the Word of God goes into your heart. That whole gossip thing, man, you're not gossiping. Why? Because you're telling people about Jesus. You get my point? And don't you love it? Listen, I love this. I just love thinking about this. Let me just read it one more time because it's so good. He says, and present yourselves to God, but in the middle of verse 13, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Don't you? I believe with all my heart, the majority of the people in this room, that's your heart's desire. That our members would be presented to God. Our hands and our feet and our mind and our eyes and all of our members would be presented to God as instruments of righteousness. That it would be done for righteousness' sake. I believe that's our heart. But listen, you can't have 13 till you understand 11. 11's got to be a reality in your life. You've got to make 11 real in your life. You've got to understand you're dead to sin, but you're alive to God. He's going to say it one more time in verse 14. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Do not let sin have dominion over you. Don't let that happen. For you are not under law, but you're under grace. You see, grace is not freedom to sin. Grace is freedom, listen carefully, not to sin. Grace sets you free, and you're free indeed, and now you can live life, the life that God promised to its fullest. Why? Because you're in Christ, and you are no longer under law. The law condemns. I don't even care if we're talking about the Mosaic law or the law, you know, or even the law condemns, doesn't it? You get conviction, you get condemned. Grace sets you free, and you're free indeed. Understand that. Listen, if you get this in your heart, you know what's going to happen to you? Holiness. Holiness. And again, I would venture to say most of us in here have a desire for holiness to some degree or another. We want that. We desire that in our lives. And if you desire that in your life, listen, then some of us were struggling all the time. Why? Because you're still under law. You've got a list. And you got this whole list. This is what I have to do. I have to do. I have to do. I have to do. This is what I don't have to do. I don't have to do. I don't have to do. Believe that you are dead to sin. And that sin no longer has dominion over you because you are not under law, but you're under grace. Get under the grace. You know, Chuck Smith used to have a great saying. I used to love it. He said, get under the spout where the glory comes out. Listen, isn't that great? I think we should be doing more of that, right? And get yourself under that spout, man, and get all that glory on you, and you will not want to sin. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the challenge of your word. And God, I do pray that as we kind of think about things and look at some things, Lord, I pray that you would work mightily in our hearts. And God, I pray that we would understand who we are. Lord, not who we used to be. We would even understand we're not even just a good remodeled other of what that used to be, but we're a brand new made saint, made in your image, filled with your spirit, enabled by your enabling to do the things that you've called us to do. So God, I pray that we would know that we're in Christ, and we would know that the old man was crucified in Christ. And that we would know that Jesus died once for all to sin and raised to ever live in the presence of God. And then I pray that we would make that true in our lives, that we would realize that aspect of this thing called Christianity, that reality of this thing called Christianity, that we would bring it into our lives. And God, we would process what that means for us. And then, God, I pray that we would present ourselves. We'd just come to you and present ourselves to you and present our members as instruments of righteousness. Be glorified. Do a great thing, Lord. Take this body of believers here and, God, change our community. Influence the darkness and chase it away so that there's light. We want, Lord, we want to see you honored in our lives and in our community. And I'm going to ask you to stay in a place of prayer, an attitude of prayer, just for another couple moments. And if you're here today, and as I've gone through this, maybe you came to the conclusion that, you know what, you're not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, meaning that you've never accepted what he's done on the cross, if that's not part of reality in your life, listen, I want to encourage you, make it today, make that happen today. If you want to be set free from the bondage of sin, then you want to live for God, here's what you got to do. You've got to recognize that you're a sinner. And you've got to confess that to God. You've got to tell God you know you're a sinner. And then you've got to ask God to forgive you of your sin. And here's the great, great news. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take care of your sin and to bring you into that relationship. And all you have to do, listen, it's pretty simple from your, all you have to do is believe him and accept the gift he's given you, this gift of a new life, of eternal life. So if you want to do that, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to try and maybe help verbalize what's going on in your heart. I'm going to say a prayer, and you can say this prayer out loud. You can say it silently. Volume doesn't matter. What matters is your heart, and you have to be sincere. And listen, maybe you've walked away from the Lord for a while. Maybe you've just gone away, and it's time to come home. It's time to come back. Say this prayer with me, and come back and get right with Jesus. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And now, I'm asking you to forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. And now, as sincerely as I know how, I'm asking you to come into my heart. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to be set free. Today, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart and you said that prayer or something like it, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand high up in the air so we can pray for you and encourage you. Anyone in here, greatest decision you'll make. Father, we thank you that it seems like once again today we're in a room full of believers. And God, I thank you that we can gather together and encourage and strengthen one another. So I pray, Lord, I pray that we would process, believe, get our hearts around, our minds around the fact that, man, we can know that we are dead to sin and alive to God. And let that guide the decisions we make, the things we do, the places we go, the people we talk to, and be glorified in our lives, God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you do need some prayer here this afternoon, we have prayer partners over here in the prayer room. Just make your way over to the prayer room. Let them know you need some prayer. Guys, don't forget on your way out, you can grab the information on the men's conference coming up with Pastor Daniel Fusco. It's going to be